Hi, everybody. Great to see everybody's, all your faces.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Let's just wait a
Was
couple more minutes, okay?
it? Yeah. I'm going to switch to my computer.
Well, I love looking at your faces. I'm so glad we have Zoom. We used to do the Messiah School, and there were only like 30 people, but not all these people from all around the world. It's great. Annie Powell, so good. Pat. Jan Harrison. Judy Mastilli, Grandpa. So good. Well, I'm doing this weather report unusually after only 2.5 months. Which is unusual because I usually only do a weather report once a year, if that. So this is unusual for me. And the reason is that the last time we spoke primarily about Aquarius with Pluto entering it and Gemini with Uranus moving into it, but not so much about Aries. And I feel like so much has changed in the last few months since Neptune and Saturn moved into Aries. And maybe you can all feel it, but a lot has really changed. And I wanted to share that. It's mostly about how people are speaking up and out from all over the world. Oh, and by the way, the recording will be on my website, heavenandearth101.com, if anybody wants to share it with anybody. Dagmar. Oh, I just want to look at your faces. I don't even want to talk. Amy, that's so sweet. So Carolyn Casey says, consider versus disaster. Disaster means against the stars. Disaster. Consider means with the stars. So the question in astrology is, are our plans in accord with the gods? And if not, what should we do to bring them into accord? That's why I do astrology, to try to figure out that question. Cynthia Borjo says, the old order, the mental structure is slowly waning. But the new, the integral structure is still far from established. In the meantime, we're stuck in the birth canal. We can all feel that, right? And just today, the Southern Cheyenne leader, Chris Talbert, shares the story of the 1864 Sand Creek Massacre. Not as distant history, but as something still present. His ancestors survived Sand Creek, and what he offers here is a continuation of memory. Held in place in lineage, and in the responsibility to remember. How do we live with histories? This is a great question for all of us right now. How do we live with histories that have not been fully recognized? Through acknowledgement, conversation, presence, then something can begin. That's what he said. In the tricycle community, it said, if we know how to use all these myriad sufferings as a cause to connect with Dharma, our suffering can have a wondrous quality, right? So we're emerging from Pisces. What we're emerging from is that we've all become the sojourners. We are all in the same place in this world now. So what have we forgotten that we have to remember? Last year at this time, the planets were in Pisces. For example, Saturn was at 27 Pisces, and that symbol is a monk in exile carries a sacred text to new lands. Neptune at 30 Pisces said, masses of humanity float in a large craft towards the source of living water. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, good. Pisces is the very end of the zodiac, for those of you who don't know. Aries is the beginning. So we go from Aries to Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and we end in Pisces. So in some sense, Pisces contains it all. It contains the entire zodiac. So when things move into Aries, it's a completely new beginning. So that combination of Pisces to Aries is pretty dramatic. Today, Mercury is at 3 degrees. I'm sorry, Mercury and Neptune are at 3 degrees, Aries. That says, envisioning the future, a pioneer forges the road ahead. Mars is at 6 degrees, which says a fire sprite springs from the ashes of an old kingdom. Saturn is at 8 degrees, Aries. It says a man stands in the place of all remembered suns. The moon says, in a blinding flash, a firefighter commits to braving the flame. Chiron at 27 says, when thunder shatters the mirror, the artist fashions a mosaic. I don't know if you're picking up on this. And the sun at 28 says, lost in the darkest night, fugitives discover lightning in their blood. Okay. And tomorrow there'll be a new moon, and the sun, moon, and Chiron will all be in the same place. That's pretty dramatic. There's all these new radio shows. The middle, being open, left, right, center, lefty, righty, consider this. It's all about building bridges, not boundaries. Right? Building bridges, not boundaries. Think about the Olympics. Ubuntu, an ancient African word, means humanity to others, and I am because we are. I am because we are. And now we're moving. Pisces to Aries, take everything from the past and translate it to the new. That's where we are. Entering Aries, the warrior energy is happening. But because of Aquarius and Gemini, it's not about king, but kind and kin. So substitute the word kin for king. Just take out the G. And you have where we truly are. Dabley Lawless from Lawless Astrology says, we are marching along into the Aries parade with all inner planets, plus Saturn, Neptune, Chiron, and Eris, all transiting through Aries. It's a heavily Aries-laden month, giving us the opportunity to throw off helplessness, misdirection, and take effective action for the projects and causes we've been dreaming about. I don't know if any of you have been listening to Pope Leo, but that's a great example. Pope Leo speaking up to Donald Trump. With all this Aries energy, we can either attack what we fear or defend what we love. Mars, in particular, which entered Aries last week, evokes the courageous warrior who protects the innocent, or the feckless tyrant who shields his pettiness and insecurity with callous arrogance and menacing threats. Those are our choices. Where we stand on the spectrum between those polarities is our choice to make. That's Dabney Lawless. The great astrologer Rob Hand would quote from The Lord of the Rings when describing what he called High Aries. High Mars, or the most noble expression of the Mars archetype, Aragorn, a highborn ranger, kneels before Frodo, a simple hobbit, and vows, "If by my life or death I can protect you, I will. You have my word." What do you feel when you see an American flag? Just think about that for a minute. What do you feel when you see the American flag? Nadia Bolz Weber says, "If I see a pickup truck with American flags flying behind its cab while belching diesel fumes into the street, I do not think that person has a commitment to liberty and justice for all. I think there are so many people in my life who would not feel safe around that person." Because the distance between what I think this flag should represent, a continually unfurling commitment to the dignity of all, protection from tyranny for both our citizens and our allies, and a government of the people, by the people, and what's so often used to hide behind, the anxious and delusional so-called supremacy of a single race and a single religion, the contraction of rights, a cultish tyranny pawned off as patriotism, makes it difficult to claim the symbol of the flag as my own. But then she says, "But I do love my country." Damn it. I love that we set aside the most beautiful parts of this place to belong to all of us in our state and national parks. I love how many languages we speak, how many places we come from, how many ways we pray. I love that there are truths in the US Constitution that even those who penned it could not possibly have understood the full power of. I want to think of these things when I see the stars and stripes. I want to think of Sojourner Truth and Betty Suskin, Jimmy Carter, Dolly Parton, Amelia Earhart, Che Rivera. I am exhausted by seeing Old Glory and thinking instead of those who celebrate removing any mention of the Tuskegee Airmen from the Smithsonian website. That's Nadia Bolz Weber. Do you know who she is, Nadia Bolz Weber? You don't. Oh, you should look her up. She was a drug addict and a missing person, just an unused person. And then she found a religion and she became a minister. And she's a minister. She has a church called the Church of Saints and Sinners, and it's for all people. And now, of course, everyone goes to church because she's so terrific. But she's a great example of this. Nadia Bolz Weber is her name. So, what about when you see many flags from many countries hanging together? Like Doctors Without Borders. Let's just think on that for a moment. And I have Juan here as my companion, so thank goodness I couldn't do this myself. He's going to show a little movie of the Hungarians from the other day. No sound? Okay. Yeah, I like that. Like that. Let me talk for a minute about the modes in astrology. For those of you who are not familiar, the modes are the three primary ways that zodiac signs can manifest. So we have fire signs, earth signs, air signs, and water signs. But each of the three elements has three modes. So in fire, there's a cardinal, fixed, immutable. And in earth, there's a cardinal, fixed, mutable, in air. So, okay, that's how we get the 12. Cardinal signs are initiating, fixed signs are stabilizing, and mutable signs are adaptive. So, think of a tower, think of the shape of a triangular tower, okay? Cardinal's on the top of the tower, fixed is at the bottom of the tower, and the mutable is connecting the two. Pluto's entered Aquarius, which is fixed air, watching while the higher and the lower attune to one another from the bottom, from the widest point. Uranus is entering mutable air, Gemini. Changes in the future, everything and anything can happen. Uranus was in Gemini, went back to Taurus, and enters Gemini again on April 26th. And by the way, Uranus in Gemini in April 1774, the Battle of Lexington, which created the United States of America. In 1865, Uranus was in Gemini, and Robert E. Lee surrendered only 100 years ago, which doesn't seem so long ago anymore. And also the end of World War II in 1945. So Uranus, Aquarius, and Gemini form a triangle from one another. They're both air signs. Aquarius is fixed, Gemini is mutable. And then we have Aries. Many planets entering Aries. So it's like a bow. It's in between the two signs. So, Juan, show that picture of the bow and arrow. That might be helpful here. So, you can see Aquarius making a triangle to Gemini, and then Aries shooting through the middle of them. Okay? Everyone see that? So, if you show the chart for now, with Aquarius, Gemini, and Aries. You can't see my marker, right? You see Pluto at one end, Uranus at the other, and everything else is in Aries in between. Yeah, that's Pluto. That's Uranus entering Gemini. And then Neptune, Mercury, Mars, Saturn, Chiron, Sun, Moon, all in Aries. Can everyone see that? That'll give you a visual of what's going on. Thanks, Juan. Robinson Jeffers writes, "This salvation is not something that happens to us passively. It is something that happens in us through our active participation in life, through the choice we make during the brief interlude of our existence as animate beings in an animate universe. Wholeness itself is a participatory act, both as a faculty of being and a function of becoming, to be mastered and refined in the course of living." So the thing about a crusader is a crusader does not need to fight. Let's reimagine warrior. Oh, that's cool, Jan. Thank you for that. In Aries, anger comes from vulnerability. The positive side of Aries is bravery, invincibility, the ability to speak up and speak out. It's Aries, but with Aquarius and Gemini, it's everyone making a way out of no way. And with Saturn and Neptune conjunct in Aries, there is a new commitment, Saturn, to the dream, Neptune. Neptune's the dream, Saturn's commitment. Or an AI language, which I call Aquarian language, says of Aries, fearless, optimistic, enthusiastic, trailblazer, fierce loyalty and protection, honesty, directness, independent, self-reliant, passionate, and creative. Those are all Aries words. Mark Jones, an astrologer, says in May, June, and July, Uranus and Gemini forms a square to the nodes. It's a powerful opportunity for awakening, one that can challenge inherited patterns, habitual conditioning, and assumptions about who we are meant to be. This configuration points to a critical developmental crossroads where the urge towards freedom and authenticity is strong. So, in other words, it's time to stop thinking that your voice doesn't matter. It's time to stop thinking that what's happening in the world has nothing to do with you. It has to do with you, and it has to do with everybody. And it's not like everyone has to become political. It's not even like everyone has to go out and protest, but each of us, in our own way, has to find a way to strike out. Lauren in Astrology by Lauren says, keep an open mind and be willing to look for solutions in unexpected corners. Simple changes in perspective could have remarkable consequences. By being open to new possibilities, you can discover ideas and possibilities that you were not able to see before. Let's talk about the warrior pose. Mativta, Center for Contemplative Judaism in Los Angeles, says, My battle involves remaining alive for others while simultaneously hoping for a cure and balancing that hope with the responsibility of accepting and planning for the possibility that will not be discovered in time. Louise Driscoll, an American poet born in 1875, said, "Within our heart, keep one still secret spot where dreams may go." Within your heart, keep one still secret spot where dreams may go. So a friend who might be here right now, who listened to the last weather report on February 1st, commented on what I said about possible futures. She was astonished that I said there were no nor there was no normal to return to. She wasn't fond of that comment about no normal America because she referred to the importance of democracy. So she was disturbed. Let me be clear, I did not say the end of democracy. In 1784, Pluto was also in Aquarius when James Madison spoke to the Iroquois nation. And it will be again in another 250 years. But what I meant was that now the word democracy has to mean something different. We're making it new, that our perspective has to change. That what has come with Neptune and Pisces is a reconsidering of the old ways. Like I said, all the old ways are up. What are we going to do about them? What are we meant to remember them for? The indigenous people, what are we meant to remember them for? Coming out of Pisces, what does democracy mean? And what can we do differently to change the past? Because it's Aries. If we're aware of the past, how can it look different? What if starting new, what if starting a new country meant killing all the citizens of the old indigenous one? What if we still live in a place with racism being at the forefront? Democracy means a system of government where power is vested in all. And Aquarius means yes to democracy and no to autocracy. Grievance is hate, grief is love. Grief is love. So the question is, we're all gathered here. Why? Who are the people? How can we think differently? Do we really want to go back to the things have been when nations from all around the world, when nations from all around the world are gathering together now? And what if it's not just about the United States of America? Which is clearly what we're learning now. We're not the greatest, we're not the most powerful country in the world. The point is, communities are all coming together to fight autocracy. Did you know that the Minneapolis people together were all just nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize? Did you all hear that? Oh, yeah. As a group of people. And that there's a 14-year-old running for governor of Vermont? My teacher, Anthony Damiani, said each natal chart is simultaneously a moment of the continuous cosmic activity and a moment of enduring significance for individuals born at that moment. Let me read that again, okay? Each natal chart is simultaneously a moment of the continuous cosmic activity and a moment of enduring significance at the same time for individuals born at that moment. So, what that means is the planetary positions at any given moment, if you're born now, appear as who you are, as your horoscope. What does that say we're creating in terms of the children that are born now? I often get this complaint from clients. I can't have a kid. I can't bring a kid into this world. It's too tough a place. And what I tell them is they don't have the charts you do. They have the chart of the world as it is now. They know how to fight. Anyone born now, I mean, I can't even. I can't even imagine having a child now with all those planets in Aries. Talk about having to back off as a parent. Anyone know anyone who's pregnant right now? You do? Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see these kids. So the earth is counting on every one of us, and more people are speaking up. Drawing on Suzuki Roshi's teaching that we don't observe precepts to attain enlightenment, but rather to actualize Buddha's spirit. Chodo explores how the precepts are not commandments that remove us from the world in this very moment, but rather invitations to meet both with intimacy, the inner and the outer. He reminds us that our practice isn't about perfection. It's about noticing when we're about to cross that line from care to harm in our minds, our words, our actions. It's about letting one question interrupt us and shape our lives. And the question is, in this moment, what does it mean to care? In this moment, in this very moment, what does it mean to care? Aurora Levin's moralities, a Puerto Rican Jewish writer and poet. This is from a Passover poem called The Red Sea from 2002. This time we cannot cross until we carry each other. All of us refugees, all of us prophets. No more taking turns on history's wheel, trying to collect old debt as no one can pay. The sea will not open that way. This time, that country is what we promise each other. Our rage pressed cheek to cheek until tears flood the space between. Until there are no enemies left. Because this time on, one will be left to drown, and all of us must be chosen. This time, it is all of us or none. Think about the earth, right? Think about the condition of the earth. Anyone want to say anything? You can unmute and speak if you want. To look at everybody. Or maybe raise your hand so you'll come to the front of my screen. Raise your hand if you have anything you'd like to say. No? Not so quiet. Amy, you have your hand up? Speak, speak, speak. You're muted, though.
Okay, thank you so much. I just, I love these weather reports because it gives me that like dose or shot of hope again, sort of reminding me that everything is exactly as it should be.
Exactly.
And when you were talking about what Anthony said about every natal chart being that one little piece, I won't do it justice trying to repeat it, but being that one little piece in the big picture and that natal chart being me. Or my natal chart being me.
Yeah.
And the immensity of it all just is very, it seems big and yet soothing at the same time. Reminds me of my purpose, reminds me of the track that we all have, whether we're conscious of it or not. And I'm working with a lot of pregnant people right now. But that's all. I just, you know, this is all very impactful to hear this, to
Good.
just sit back and hear this.
Yeah, that's why I had to do it again.
Yeah.
I had to speak about Aries. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Pat.
Hello, Linda.
Hi, sweetheart.
When you made that statement about the transition or the fine line between caring and harming, it really made me think about how when we have our negativity inside, you know, like it's hard not to fall into hate or, you know, really
Speak
being
up a
hate.
little louder, Pat.
It's really hard not to fall into hate when you
Yeah.
see some of the things that are going on,
Yeah.
and that it harms us internally as much as it doesn't do anything really on the external. So that caring for ourselves as well means we have to have, you know, to recognize when we fall into those states and have compassion for ourselves.
Even on a small scale, right? Just
It's
today, I was listening to, I think it was on Fresh Air today, an Israeli and a Palestinian who traveled together to the world to make peace from completely different sides. And it was so. Did anyone else hear Fresh Air today? Did anyone else hear that? Did you hear that, Carol? Wasn't that amazing? I mean, just their commitment, not to agreeing. It's not about agreeing, it's about listening to one another. It was amazing. It was amazing. But that's what's called for right now, I think.
There's a group of people who have lost on both sides, Palestinian and Israeli.
Yeah.
The relatives have gotten together and formed a group of working together and mediating with each other in the United States, actually. It's quite
Oh,
amazing.
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Well, if no one else wants to speak, just listen. I'm going to read you some quotes. Because this is the way I do things.
Hey, Linda, I have one question.
Oh, Dan, go ahead.
How long will it be like this?
The
Like how?
Aries thing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it'll be short for Mercury, Mars, Venus, all the inner planets, but it'll be long for Neptune. Because Neptune takes 164 years or something to go around.
So is that
So, I mean, the Aries. The Aries, that what I'm saying about the Aquarius, Gemini, and Aries is going to last for a long time.
And so this ability to manifest something new will be lasting for a long time.
Yes, the thing about everyone gathering together as one world, that's been coming for a while, right? I mean, we know we're not individual nations anymore. And it's crazy to think of us that way.
Yeah.
And I actually, this is just my opinion, this isn't astrological, but personally, I think that's why Donald Trump was elected to be president, to stir it up,
Yeah.
to do the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. And he's doing a great job, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, he's
It's
doing a
making
really good job.
it's like it makes everything so obvious, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
Linda.
Who's talking?
Diane Lynn.
Oh, hi.
Hi, sweetheart. There is an incredibly fierce thunderstorm happening around my house right now.
Oh, really? Not here. Wow. That's pretty cool. You
I'm
know what the
attached
first
to.
degree of Aries is?
No, tell me.
The first degree of Aries says a single lightning bolt illuminates the dark waters.
It is powerful here.
And the second degree of Aries says thunder echoes through a distant valley.
Yeah, that's happening here.
That's great. So I'm going to read you things from one Aries. I'm going to read you all these people that we all know of that have these degrees in Aries. So Neptune, Rabindranath Tagore, born in 1869, has Neptune at the first degree of Aries. He said, "When old words die out on the tongue, new melodies break forth from the heart. And where the old tracks are lost, new country is revealed with its wonders." And he also said, "Reach high, for stars lie hidden in you. Dream deep, for every dream precedes the goal." That's Tagore. R.D. Lang, born in 1927, had Uranus at the first degree of Aries. Madness need not be all breakdown. It may also be breakthrough. Its potential liberation and renewal, as well as enslavement and existential death. Rumi had Neptune at 2 degrees Aries. 2 degrees Aries is thunder echoes through a distant valley. And he said, "One clap in the emptiness of space and new centuries begin." He was born in 1207, by the way. Hilma of Klint had Neptune. Do you all know who she is? The artist? She painted back in the early 20th century. She was born in 1800s. And she did amazing paintings that look like astrological and mystical, but no one ever knew about them. And she was told by her guides that one day her paintings would be seen in a spiral staircase. And she just painted till she died. And several years ago, her paintings were put up in the Guggenheim Museum. Oh, thank you, Dagmar. There's her book. Can you all see Dagmar? Juan, can you put Dagmar up on the screen so people can look at her book? Maybe. I don't know if you can do that. Yeah. Can everyone see Dagmar's book? Those are her paintings. So she said, "The pictures were painted directly through me without any preliminary drawings and with great force. I had no idea what the paintings were supposed to depict. Nevertheless, I worked swiftly and surely without changing a single brushstroke." That's Aries. Vivekananda, born in 1863, had Neptune there, and he said, "Take up one idea. Make that one idea your life. Dream of it, think of it, live on that idea. Let the brain, the body, muscles, nerves, every part of your body be full of that idea. And just leave every other idea alone. This is the way to success, and this is the way great spiritual giants are produced." Three degrees says, "Envisioning the future, a pioneer forges the road ahead." Uranus, Edward Albee, born in 1928. "You're alive only once, as far as we know, and what could be worse than getting to the end of your life and realizing you hadn't lived it?" 4 degrees, Neptune, the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln, "That nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." Also, one of my favorite people in the world, born in 1928, Mr. Fred Rogers. "The greatest gift you ever give is your honest self." He also said, "You rarely have time for everything you want in this life. So you need to make choices, and hopefully your choices can come from a deep sense of who you are. This is all Aries. Also, Martin Luther King had Uranus in the same position. Oh, now it's getting stormy here. He said, "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I just want to do God's will. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we, as people, will get to the promised land. There is a certain type of fire that no water can put out." And then he was shot. Right? Five degrees, Aries. Rosa Parks, born in 1913. "I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear." Knowing what must be done does away with fear. Also, Maya Angelou, born in 1928, she had Uranus. Rosa Parks had the North Node. Maya Angelou has Uranus at five Aries. "You may shoot with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise." Rudyard Kipling, Neptune, 8 degrees Aries, born in 1865. "If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, yours is the earth and everything that's in it." Nellie Bly also had Neptune there, born in 1864. She was best known for her undercover investigation of mental asylums and her 72-day trip around the globe. She said, "Energy rightly applied can accomplish anything." I don't know if you're getting these. You're getting the Aries about all this, right? Neptune, 9 degrees Aries, Robert E. Lee surrendered. Also, when Uranus was in Gemini. So that's a very similar time to now. Also, Catherine McCauley, the developer of Sisters of Mercy, Pluto, "We should be shining lamps, giving light to all around us." Joanna Macy had Uranus at 10 degrees Aries. She just passed away. She was born in 1929. "The future is not out there in front of us, but inside of us." Louisa May Alcott, born in 1832, had Pluto there. "I want to do something splendid, something heroic or wonderful that won't be forgotten after I'm dead." Pluto, Madame Blavatsky, born in 1831, 11 degrees Aries. "The path that leadeth on is lighted by one fire. The light of daring burning in the heart. The more one dares, the more he shall obtain." The light of daring burning in the heart. Also, W.B. Yeats had Neptune 11 Aries. 11 Aries says, "Utterly focused on the target, the archer releases its arrow. Do not wait to strike till the iron is hot, but make it hot by striking." 12 Aries. 12 Aries says, "A lone scout blazes a forgotten trail." Thomas Edison, born in 1847, "I find out what the world needs, then I go ahead and try to invent it." And also Uranus. Many years later, in 1930, Chinua Achanai, I'm not sure how to say it, Chinua Achebe, a Nigerian novelist, poet, and critic who's regarded as the central figure of modern of African literature. He said one of the truest tests of integrity is its blunt refusal to be compromised. And I don't know if you know this about Alfred Nobel. Most people don't. He was born with 12 Aries with Pluto. He invented dynamite. Did you know that? By mixing the highly unstable explosive nitroglycerin with a porous absorbent material to create a stable and safer paste in 1867, he said, "My dynamite will sooner lead to peace than 1,000 world conventions." That was Alfred Nobel. 13 degrees Aries, Neptune, Marie Curie, born in 1867. One never notices what has been done. One can only see what remains to be done. And then Ray Charles, Uranus, 14 degrees Aries, born in 1930. What is the soul? It's like electricity. We don't really know what it is, but it's a force that can light up a room. And Pluto, Sri Ramakrishna, Pluto at 14 Aries, when light is suddenly brought into a room that was dark for 1,000 years, does the darkness vanish little by little or does it disappear instantly? Surely the moment the light is brought in, all darkness is dispelled. Fifteen degrees Aries, Neptune, Frank Lloyd Wright, born in 1867. He said, take nothing for granted, as beautiful or ugly, but take every building to pieces and challenge every feature. 15 says a sharp eye weaves together the tattered pieces of life. 18, Aries, Pluto. The Divinity School Address by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Take nothing for granted, as beautiful or ugly, but take every building to pieces and challenge every feature. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repeated that. That was Frank Lloyd Wright. This is the Divinity School of Death Address. A more secret, sweet, and overpowering beauty appears to man when his heart and mind open to the sentiment of virtue. Then he's instructed in what is above him. He learns that his being is without bound, that to the good, to the perfect, he is born, low as he now lies in evil and weakness. And Pluto, Thomas Hardy, born in 1840, with Pluto at 20 Aries, fear is the mother of foresight. 21, Florence Nightingale, Neptune, born in 1870. 21 says the mountain beckons lightning to its summit. Fear is the mother of Florence Nightingale, sorry. I am of certain convinced that the greatest heroes are those who do their duty in the daily grind of no domestic affairs while the world whirls as a maddening dreidel. I am of certain convinced that the greatest heroes are those who do their duty in the daily grind of domestic affairs while the world whirls as a maddening dreidel. Nina Sabon, also 21 Aries, Uranus, born in 1933. I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear. Chiron and Moon, Richard Attenborough, born in 1923, 21 Aries. There is a light in this world, a healing spirit more powerful than any darkness we may encounter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when there's suffering and too much pain. Then suddenly, the spirit will emerge through the lives of ordinary people who hear a call and answer in extraordinary ways. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Uranus, born in 1931 at 22 Aries, a constitution as important as it is, will mean nothing unless the people are yearning for liberty and freedom. That was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Audre Lorde, 25 Aries, born in 1934 with Uranus. Now, this is interesting because she had Mars and Mercury in Pisces. So, this is a really good example of the Pisces Aries mix. She said, "There are no new ideas, there are only new ways of making them felt." She also said, "The quality of light by which we scrutinize our lives has direct bearing upon the product which we live and upon the changes which we hope to bring about through those lives. I am deliberate and afraid of nothing." But I thought that was interesting, the Pisces Aries. There are no new ideas, there are only new ways of making them felt, right? Teresa Avila, born with Uranus at 26 Aries. She, by the way, was born in 1515. "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours is his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." Twenty-six Aries says the serpent welcomes the people into the garden. Twenty-seven, Emma Lazarus, Uranus, born in 1849. When thunder shatters the mirror, the artist fashions the mosaic. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Oliver Sacks, Uranus, 28 Aries. 28 Aries says, "Lost in the darkest night, fugitives discover lightning in their blood." That's where things are now. His Uranus. "To live on a day-to-day basis is insufficient. We need to transcend, transport, escape. We need meaning, understanding, and explanation. We need to see over all patterns in our lives. We need hope, the sense of a future, the freedom to get beyond ourselves. In states of mind that allow us to rise above our immediate surroundings and see the beauty and value of the world we live in." That's Oliver Sacks. And the last one I'll read is 29 Aries, Uranus, Carl Sagan, born in 1934. I'm sure you've all heard this one. "Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and king and peasant, every young people, right, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. So to close this off, let's look at some pictures of what happened this week with the moon. Want to show him one? That's the earth. Crew member Victor Glover said, "In all of this emptiness, this thing we call the universe, you have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together. This is an opportunity for us to remember where we are, who we are, and that we got to go through this together." And Christina Koch, also the astronaut, "The seemingly impossible becomes possible if you just believe in it and you're willing to work hard and come together to achieve it. We will always choose Earth, and we will always choose each other." That was this past week. I'd love to hear from any of you. It's helpful if you raise your hand, then I can see who wants to speak. Anybody?
I
Go
don't know
ahead.
how to raise my hand.
Oh, the baby. Oh my God. There's a
Six
baby with all that Aries, Janine.
planets in Aries.
Oh my God.
Oh,
She shouldn't be sleeping. She should be awake.
she's awake all night.
Of course she
So her
is.
mom is sleeping right now.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Yvonne. You're muted.
Okay, thanks. I just want to say how inspired I feel. It's just like, it's just, my heart is full now. I love all those quotes were incredible. And just everything is, it's like a dose of, transcendent hope, which is what we need right now, what I need.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you so much. Just
Yeah.
beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. It's the way
Love it.
everyone's gathered together. Thank you. Oh, Steve, please speak.
Thank you, Linda. I just want to share my appreciation because I'm pretty well versed in astrology and spirituality, but you bring in you're interweaving poetry, philosophy, humanitarian thought, freedom fighters. Your pulling it all together. I'm guessing you're using, is that the Saros cycle? When you go by a certain degree of a certain sign and say that means this, or that's the symbol, the Saros symbol, or
Oh,
something.
those are no, those are Sabian.
Fabian.
I recently, in the last 15 years, rewrote all the Sabian symbols because they were
Outdated.
written in 1925 and they didn't mean anything anymore. And my friend William Horton and I rewrote all the symbols. So everything I read as far as symbols today are the ones I wrote with William.
Oh, this
And
is
they're a little
a
more relevant than the old ones.
yeah, this is a gift, kind of like a what do you call that, in someone who, like a curator, you're doing a curatorship extraordinaire, and it's just like so rich and fulfilling on so many different levels
Oh,
that
thank you.
I'm beginning to babble, so
Where do you
I'll
live?
stop. I'm in Miami, not far from someone else who I see here. Carol Biggio
Oh,
is
really?
in my area. We're just a couple miles apart.
Oh, nice. That's sweet. Teresa?
Oh, yeah, that's me, Therese. Thank
Teresa.
you. This was really wonderful. What I just loved was going through. I know what the Sabian symbols are, and I just learned that you have rewritten them, which I think is so great. But I love the way you go through it, and I just felt like I've just been in the presence of this huge swath of Aries, all the different flavors of Aries, how it's expressed from one to, going into whatever's after Aries. It was really lovely, and it felt like, these kind of times are, for me anyway, they can promote a hunkering down, and this was just an opening that felt really nice. So thank you very
Thank you.
much.
By the way, if you want to go to my website, you can listen to the podcast that I'm making with Cindy Black, who's here right now, I think somewhere,
Yeah.
about the symbols. So we're talking about the symbols and quotes of all the people who have them. We've only got, what, 13 of them up so far out of 30, because it takes a long time to write all the quotes. But if you want to listen to any of the degrees, you can listen to a podcast. You can find it on heavenandearth.101.com. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, thank you all for coming. I really appreciate hearing all of you. And I'm just going to read you a poem to sign off, okay? It's called Those Stars That Turn in Us. I Did Not Know, by Jan Richardson. I do not know how to keep it all together, or by what patterns this world might finally hold. What I know is our hearts are bigger than this sky that wheels above us. And what shines through all this darkness shines through us, setting every shattered thing into a new constellation. And we can turn our faces to that light, to the grace of those stars that turn in us. Thank you all. I love all the hearts coming up. Thank you very much. Till next time.
Thanks, Linda.
It's great to see all your faces.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thanks, Lenny.
Great.